College Basketball Insider.
Some news and notes from around the world of college basketball.
In-studio correspondent for WFAN and CBS Sports Radio.
Attention, please, to John Rothstein. Please report to St. Joe's.
The Insider's Insider.
Joining us now with his thoughts and to break it down, John Rothstein.
It's College Hoops Today with John Rothstein.
Let's put the women and children to bed and go looking for dinner. John Rothstein here on the College Hoops Today podcast. Later in the show, we will be joined by Xavier head coach Chris Mack. Want to remind you to subscribe to the College Hoops Today podcast on iTunes. We want to be your Bible for the college basketball season and beyond. We are the only college basketball podcast coming to you 52 weeks out of the calendar year. Also, want to remind you to check out the College Hoops Today fan page on Facebook. Give us a like, give us a review. Let us know what you think of the product we're bringing to you 52 weeks out of the calendar year. And also, send me your questions on Twitter. I'll get to them later in the show. I'm at John Rothstein. That's John, J-O-N. And today's episode of the College Hoops Today podcast is brought to you by Geico. When shopping for car insurance, consider this. Geico has been saving people money on car insurance for over 75 years. So if you're serious about savings, it's simple. Go to geico.com. After 75 years, they know how to save you money. And the date on the calendar may very well be January the 8th, 2018, nearly 2 months away from Selection Sunday, but I am convinced more so now than ever that we are again learning one thing that can't be debated when you discuss college basketball in the year 2018. Logic simply does not exist, and I think that was reiterated by what we saw last weekend. Not only did we see teams lose on the road, we saw unfathomable upsets. Michigan State, going in to Sunday's game against Ohio State, was coming off a 30-point win over Maryland, a good Maryland team. Maybe not an NCAA tournament team, but a team that will be on the bubble. The Spartans were leading the nation in field goal percentage and defensive field goal percentage. They get blown out in Columbus. Thank you, Kata Bates Diop, if you're an Ohio State fan. And what can you say about Duke's loss to NC State? Notre Dame beat NC State by 30 earlier last week in a game where the Irish obviously didn't have Bonzi Colson. And then, about midway through the first half, Matt Farrell went down with a sprained ankle. And then after that 30-point loss, Kevin Keats and company come back to Raleigh and beat Duke, not just in an buzzer-beater fashion, but by putting up 96 and winning by 11. And since we're on the topic of Notre Dame, let's talk about more unfathomable things. Notre Dame didn't have Bonzi Colson or Matt Farrell Saturday against Syracuse. They shot 30% from the field, and they shot 5 of 21 from 3, and they still won a conference game on the road. Don't think those stats haven't been going back and forth throughout Onondaga County over the last 48 hours. And now, what can you say about the SEC and Texas A&M? Do they have players out? Absolutely. Were they shorthanded against LSU? Absolutely. But with all that said, the Aggies, the team that I firmly believe is the most talented team in the SEC, is now 0-3 in conference play and will next go to Rupp Arena Tuesday night to take on Kentucky and then go to Tennessee to take on the upstart Volunteers. No logic. None whatsoever. And I'll leave you with this. Colorado this season, in what looks like a bridge year for Tad Boyle, lost a home game to San Diego, who again is a very good West Coast Conference team coached by a good young coach in Lamont Smith. But then they went out and beat Arizona State and Arizona back-to-back. College basketball, where the unexpected becomes the ordinary. Will that happen when Xavier visits Villanova Wednesday night in South Philadelphia? We'll find out when we talk to the head man of the Musketeers, Chris Mack, on the College Hoops Today podcast with John Rothstein, coming up next. Xavier is 15-2 on this Monday, January 8th, 2018, and the head coach of the Musketeers is Chris Mack. He joins the College Hoops Today podcast with John Rothstein right now. And, Coach, after 17 games, how would you assess the state of the Xavier Musketeers for the 17-18 season?
Developing. You know, I think, you know, any coach this time of the year feels like you're about to go through the gauntlet of league games, both home and away. And, you know, our team didn't play at its best here against Providence, and we got a huge challenge on Wednesday night. But, you know, I think any point in the year, you're trying to continue to get better. You know, teams are going to be heavily scouting you more as you get into conference play. And we have to come up with answers on both ends to continue to improve our team. But, you know, I do like our team. I think we have some veterans who have been through a million wars, both non-conference and Big East play. And that's what you want as a coach. You want guys that have been in that situation before and can give guidance to the young guys and feel confident that when they're in one, two possession games down the stretch that they can make the right decision to help seal wins.
You know, Chris, you said that your team didn't play its best against Providence, and anybody who's followed your team all season knows that it's very rare for J.P. McCurr to score in single digits, and it's also very rare for Trayvon Blewett not to score in the second half. When you get together with your team in a locker room and you know that the team didn't play its best, what is the dialogue that you have with them before you're getting ready to go on the bus?
Well, I think you have to analyze, you know, why we didn't play, you know, as well as maybe we're capable of. Certainly always give credit to your opponent. I thought Providence guys, as Coach Cooley put it, played edgy. I thought they played particularly hard. And, you know, we didn't play as well. And I think you have to analyze why. Certainly in the first half, turning the ball over specifically against their zone put us behind the eight ball, John. We were 8 points down going into half with 10 turnovers. And you can't do that on the road no matter who you play. So for us, especially against Villanova, who's a you know, ball pressure type of team out in the passing lanes. They really try to disrupt your rhythm offensively, deny your reversals, not let you get into set plays. Ball security, being able to produce a quality shot every time down the floor is going to be imperative. So, you know, other games there might be a different problem. And as you go through the season, hopefully you keep getting better at those things that maybe plague you in losses and in close victories where you think you could have played better.
Now, you mentioned Villanova, and obviously that's going to be a highly anticipated game Wednesday night in South Philadelphia, but there's a new wrinkle in the Xavier-Villanova dynamic, because since you've been in the Big East, you have always had to play the Wildcats on campus. That won't be the case this year due to the renovations at the Pavilion. What is it going to be like differently from your perspective, given the fact that you will play them in an arena downtown versus on campus?
Well, other than the obvious, different venue, unless Jay's going to put five different players in Villanova uniforms, we're still going to face the same Wildcat tenacity. We're still going to face the same team that's led by an emotionless killer in Jalen Brunson, guy that makes the right decision every time down the floor. So it's not the venue. It's not the building. They've been great in any building they've played. And so we have to do a much better job, like I said before, of taking care of the ball. And when you play Villanova, you have to play for 40 minutes. You know, you can't play in spurts. Spurts get you beat. Spurts get you 10-0 runs in favor of them. And next thing you know, they're like a surgeon. They just continue to work on that same spot and put you to sleep. So we have to do a much better job, John, of taking care of the ball, getting quality shots. And that's what we needed to do against Providence as well. It's just that Villanova exploits it so well because of their disciplined approach on the offensive end.
You know, Chris, since realignment and this new rendition of the Big East prior to the 13-14 season, Villanova has won 73 league games and 53 have been by double figures. It reminds me a lot of the way your Xavier team was during your latter teams in the Atlantic 10. I'm curious, from your perspective, what is it like hunting the hunted?
A difficult challenge. You know they're good. They know they're good. They hang their hat on an identity that I think anybody that plays them regularly understands. So, you know, it's a credit to Coach Wright, his coaching staff. I think they more than any team that we've played, really in my time, you know what you're getting when you play them. You know that they're going to scrap and claw on the defensive end. They're going to switch every ball screen, mostly off the ball screens as well. They're going to front the post. They're going to be maniacal in their defensive intensity. Offensively, they're going to try to space you, and they're going to try to take advantage of the three-point line. and they've done it extraordinarily well, at least in the time that we've faced Villanova in our time in the Big East. And until somebody can consistently knock them off, or they lose some talent, which I don't see them doing, it's always going to be a team that's certainly reckoned with in our conference as well as around the country.
Xavier head coach Chris Mack joined the College Hoops Today podcast with John Rothstein. Musketeers 15-2 overall heading into Wednesday's game at Villanova. Now, Chris, 2 years ago you had a team that earned a 2 seed in the NCAA tournament. Where is this team at this juncture of the season compared to that team?
Well, I don't really know yet. You know, that team went through the gauntlet of the Big East schedule, getting 14 wins and 18 league attempts. So we're just starting this journey in the league. And I think our league, quite honestly, John, is a lot better than it was a couple of years ago. You know, a team like Seton Hall has as much experience and as talent as anyone in the country. And, I just think you see on a nightly basis some of the teams in the bottom of the league maybe historically have improved significantly. So I love our talent level. I mentioned before our experience. I think anytime you can put seniors on the floor that have been in key situations over the years, it can only help you. Our team 2 years ago was a lot bigger in the front court. Our rebounding was phenomenal. I think we're a good rebounding team. I think we can get better, but we don't have the length that necessarily we had a few years ago. So it'll be interesting to see. You know, again, every team goes through their entire season. You know, they're going to face adversity. And, we faced a little bit on Saturday. How do we respond? And that'll be my opinion, the telltale sign of, what we do with this year and where we go from here.
Now, it's interesting because 2 years ago you have an unbelievable season, and then you have a gut-wrenching loss in the round of 32 to Wisconsin. And then last year you might not be playing due to injuries your best basketball during the latter part of the season, but you wind up advancing to the Elite Eight and are a game away from the Final Four. After you reflect on each of those seasons, where do you feel like you were more fulfilled?
It's really hard to say. What have you done in the immediate type of society? And, I think the NCAA tournament is one of the best sporting events in the entire world. So many people fill out brackets. So many people pay attention. You know, media covers it like never before. And so it was a fun run. You know, I do think that the way we played in the Big East tournament prepared us. And we had a group that never quit on themselves, despite maybe losing a few in a row. John, our guys came to practice every single day asking how can we get better and focusing on doing just that. I think that the group 2 years ago had an incredible regular season, and I was really proud of seniors like Remy Abel and James Farr and Jalen Reynolds that gave it all for the team and sacrificed some individual recognition for us to have the type of season that we do. But I value both of them in extremely different ways. I was really proud of our group a year ago. Because as a coach, you always talk about being able to overcome adversity and not get defined by it, and your character has to shine through. And for our guys to go through the fire and then come out, with some roses with NCAA tournament success, I was really proud of those guys so that they could tangibly see, what it's like to stick through something when it's tough.
Well, and you mentioned resiliency there, and that brings me to something that I have to ask you. In your Sweet 16 win over Arizona, they had a lead late in the game, and in the last 90 seconds, your team battles back and gets an improbable victory. And your former boss, Sean Miller, is on the sideline, and you just beat him in a game to get to the Elite Eight. This is a guy that one time you were reporting to about recruiting. You were helping him with practice. When you finally complete that comeback and go to half court and embrace your former boss, what did you say?
I think I said I was sorry, and I meant it. John, it's a tough moment. When somebody who provided the opportunity like Sean did for me, and had an incredible team and an incredible season, has to go out. With the other being as happy as we were. I think our team got to that point because, quite honestly, they never really stopped believing. We had been in that moment so many times where when we got down 6 or 7 late, we just understood that, hey, you can't get it all back on one possession. You can't try to just get out in the passing lane steal and try to get back in the game in one key second on the defensive end. You have to be able to stay with the entire possession, make it a tough shot, and then try to earn something on the offensive end. And I saw no panic in our guys. So I was extremely happy for our crew. I was proud of them. But I would be lying if, I think sometimes the storylines that other people put out there, about beating his former boss, I mean, that to me is really irrelevant. It was about the Xavier guys, beating the Arizona guys. And I felt bad for Sean because I know how good of a team he had and how hard we all work at this.
Now, Sean's been to multiple Elite Eights at Arizona, one at Xavier, and you joined that company last year by leading Xavier to the Elite Eight. Jim Calhoun once told me that game to get to the Final Four, once you coach in it, changes you as a head coach. How is Chris Mack different as a head coach now after coaching the Elite Eight than maybe he was prior?
Well, with all due respect to Coach Calhoun, I think he's an incredible coach. You don't win national championships for nothing. I don't know how much it's really changed me. I think it's certainly provided our guys with the understanding that, anything's possible. And if you keep believing and you keep working, that, everybody puts their pants on the same way and everybody ties their shoes the same way. And, we just have to give ourselves a chance to get there. And hopefully we get back at that moment again and we're able to maybe dwell on the experience of how tough it was in that locker room when we didn't get the job done. But how much has it changed me? I don't think a whole lot. I think I've always been a hungry competitor. Hopefully our guys will always be that way. And, maybe we get that shot again sometime this March or April.
Xavier head coach Chris Mack joining the College Hoops Today podcast with John Rothstein. Musketeers 15-2 overall heading into Wednesday's game against Villanova in Philadelphia. Now, Chris, sooner or later, and probably sooner, this is going to happen where if you get a couple of wins, you're going to become Xavier's all-time winningest coach. For somebody who grew up in the Cincinnati area and obviously played for Pete Gillen, what is it like to think about that, considering all the great coaches that have come through this program? You are going to be the one that has won more than all.
Well, I'm just fortunate enough to be the head coach at my alma mater. I never thought that would be possible when I was an assistant coach. And, there's so many great assistants out there that never really get the opportunity to become a head coach, but could do a great job if they were in that seat. I just think that I've been really fortunate to have some unbelievably talented players that believed in what we were teaching and worked hard every single day. But as Skip Prosser, who brought me in this business, once said, the game's about the players. And, we try to put our guys in the right spots, but ultimately they have to make the shots. They have to defend the shots. They got to get the rebounds. And so, it's a little bit embarrassing, to be honest, that such a hoopla is made when I really feel like it's all about the players. And, I'm obviously well aware of it because you can't go anywhere nowadays without Twitter or somebody talking about it. But, I'd rather just focus on trying to win the next game and worry about the opponent and how they're going to attack us and what we need to do to stop them.
Well, it's interesting you said that because that's obviously the focus, but I think one thing just watching this program from afar is the evolution of Xavier basketball, especially when the program joined the Big East. How has it evolved since you first came in contact with Xavier as a kid, and is it more of a destination job than it was maybe even 10 years ago?
Absolutely. I mean, it's been an incredible ascension that our program's been on. Really since the early 80s, Bob Stack and the Xavier administration made a commitment that they wanted basketball to be really good, and they were going to dedicate all the resources that they needed. I think they made, obviously, a huge step forward when they decided to build the Cintas Center in the late 90s, and it's been an incredible home for us. But you mentioned it before. When we went from the Atlantic 10 to the Big East, and you're on the stage with schools like Georgetown and Villanova, and teams that Butler that have been to national championship games and won national championships, playing your Big East tournament in Madison Square Garden. I think the exposure that our programs gain nationally, it's much different than when I was a kid and I was getting recruited by Xavier. And I'm proud of that. You know, I'm just one guy amongst many, whether it's former players, whether it's ADs, administrators, assistant coaches, you name it. There have been a lot of people that have worked hand-in-hand to get Xavier to this point, and I'm awfully proud to be a representative of it.
Well, and obviously, the only thing you focus on is the next thing that's in front of you, which is Wednesday's game against Villanova. What are the biggest keys to having a chance to get a road victory late against the Wildcats?
Well, I think, at least for us, it starts with taking better care of the basketball. You know, and that was, unfortunately, an emphasis of ours against Providence, and we didn't do a very good job, especially early. I think anytime you go on the road, John, you have to be able to get quality shots and establish who you are. And with the way that Villanova plays, again, out in the passing lanes, really trying to be disruptive, that's even more important, because I would say prior to this year, they always played fairly fast from defense to offense on a miss, but they're elite in transition now. And I think teams that take bad shots, that turn the ball over early, are finding that out. You know, and again, we're going to have to do a great job of guarding the basketball. Jalen Brunson is as good as any point guard in the country. I mean, they're number one for a reason, and it's going to take a huge effort on our part, and hopefully our guys are up to the challenge.
Final thing for me, Chris, you scored a victory over Villanova at the Cintas Center the year they won a national championship in 2016. How is this group of Wildcats different?
That's the thing. I don't, you know, obviously their personnel has changed dramatically, but they still value the three-point shot. They still have four or five players at a single time on the floor that shoot 40% or better from the three-point line, so they really try to stretch you. And then defensively, they're the same tenacious group that I've watched since we got into this league. So, you know, I think that's a credit to Coach Wright. I think his program has an identity and a stamp that is really very clear. And I think that's what you want as a coach when you have an identity with your group. So, you know, again, hopefully we have that same type of experience like we did a couple of years ago in the home game. Be able to do it at the Sixers Arena would be a really nice Wednesday night for us.
Well, Chris, appreciate a couple minutes. Know how busy you are. Good luck against Wednesday and obviously throughout the rest of the Big East slate.
Hey, thanks for having me, John.
We'd like to thank Xavier head coach Chris Mack for joining the College Hoops Today podcast with John Rothstein. I want to remind you to subscribe to the College Hoops Today podcast with John Rothstein on iTunes. We want to be your Bible for the college basketball season and beyond. We are the only college basketball podcast coming to you 52 weeks out of the calendar year. Also, I want to remind you to check out the College Hoops Today fan page on Facebook. Give us a like, give us a review. Let us know what you think of the product we're bringing to you 52 weeks out of the calendar year. And today's episode of the College Hoops Today podcast is brought to you by Geico. And shopping for car insurance, consider this. Geico has been saving people money on car insurance for over 75 years. So if you're serious about savings, it's simple. Go to geico.com. After 75 years, they know how to save you money. And time now for our social media portion of the College Hoops Today podcast with John Rothstein. Send me your questions on Twitter. I'm at John Rothstein. That's John, J-O-N. Our first question comes from LMAC Cotton. And it's, John, how far will Virginia make it in the tournament? And, you know, that's a great question. Virginia obviously had a huge win over North Carolina Saturday in Charlottesville. I don't know yet, okay, if this Virginia team is as good as the teams that we saw be a major player in the NCAA tournament from 2014 to 2016. But I do think this, when you look at the landscape of the ACC, Carolina is obviously not the Carolina that we saw a year ago when we win a national championship. Duke, obviously, is having some major defensive issues. I think right now, Virginia seems to be the team that is most comfortable in its own skin during the first week of January. That could change in a month. It could change in 2 months. But for all intents and purposes, I like where the Cavaliers are at. Our next question comes from 810 Talk, and it's, John, any chance the Atlantic 10 gets two bids in the NCAA tournament? Only if Rhode Island doesn't win the Atlantic 10 Conference tournament. I think that's one thing that, you know, has really started to come to pass. Look, I was really impressed with St. Bonaventure with a healthy Jalen Adams. But when you look at what's happened to the Bonnies the last week, you have to have some major reasons for concern. A loss to Dayton, a loss to St. Joe's. And I'll tell you this, from sitting in the mock selection of the bracket a couple years ago in Indianapolis, the NCAA Tournament Selection Committee does not just value good wins, they also look at bad losses. Dayton and St. Joe's are bad losses for a team that's trying to make the NCAA tournament in an at-large situation. And another thing people need to understand, when you're evaluating bubble teams for the NCAA tournament, it's blind resumes. You're looking at who has obviously the best wins, the best losses, the best metrics in terms of the RPI. So St. Bonaventure is competing with Ohio State, okay, for an at-large berth. They're competing with teams in the Big East like Marquette and Providence. Those are things that you have to understand. And now that you are all set for your social media needs, let's get to some nuggets.
Five good nuggets.
Five.
Six.
No, five. But you were close.
Nugget number one, holding their own. Tony Bennett is now 7-6 against North Carolina since taking the Virginia job in 2009. The Cavaliers have won three of the last five meetings. Nugget number two, Knox enough. Kentucky needs more consistency from Kevin Knox if it's going to have a chance to win the SEC. Knox just 12 of 39 and 3 of 15 from three in his last four games. Nugget number three, American sleeper. Central Florida held Temple to 39 points in a 21-point win on Sunday. I've said it for weeks right now, this could be an NCAA tournament contender when BJ Taylor returns from injury. Our next nugget, one bid league. This goes back to the Atlantic 10. Right now, with St. Bonaventure losing to Dayton and also St. Joe's, what other team can build a resume that would warrant an at-large berth in the NCAA tournament other than Rhode Island? Nugget number five, hilltopping. How about former Virginia guard Darius Thompson at Western Kentucky? He had a triple-double, 33-10-10, as the Hilltoppers beat Marshall by 25 over the weekend. Now, let's find some games to watch.
Games to watch. Games to watch.
Four good ones on Tuesday. Texas Tech at Oklahoma. Purdue travels to Michigan. That will be a good test for the Boilers. Texas A&M at Kentucky. Seton Hall at Marquette. And then Wednesday, the big one, Xavier at Villanova. Would like to thank Xavier head coach Chris Mack for joining the College Hoops Today podcast with John Rothstein. We'll be back next week. Same bat time, same bat channel. This was the College Hoops Today podcast with John Rothstein.